Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, a podcast about TV and film. Today, an extra special episode, the return yet again of our beloved friend, founder of the show, Andy.
Andy!
How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm really good, man. Really good. Mm-hmm. Got some chores done. Picked up the house a little bit. Watched some Cloverfield.
Ooh.
It's been a good day.
That's the movie that we're talking about today. As you guys know, our patrons have the ability at a certain tier to mandate, obligate, force at metaphorical gunpoint us to watch and review a movie of their choice. I said metaphorical.
Yeah.
No violence.
No.
Today, the choice is Cloverfield. That's right, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
What a great movie. And I do want to add a little addendum to your note, Kit, is that we have locked the patron tier that allows you to choose.
I've been getting some emails, people requesting.
Some people have sent us emails saying like, hey, I can't get the tier that lets me choose what you guys
sold watch.
Out. It's sold out. And that is for a reason. We aren't ready to announce why, but stay tuned for more on our patron tiers.
Yeah. Sign up to patreon.com/streamingthings to find out why.
I mean, even I don't know. And he's like, there are tears?
We didn't talk about this off camera.
Tears and rain?
Yeah, and we thought Andy would be a great... Well, actually, Andy thought, you know, he asked... last week, we wanted him on for Moneyball for obvious reasons. If you heard that episode, Steve and I know next to nothing about baseball.
I'm sorry.
I should have been there.
I'm sorry. Guys.
Andy's a huge fan of baseball. That would have made a lot of sense. But he was like, hey, rain check. However, what are you covering next week? And I sent him the list. And he chose Cloverfield, a movie that I know that you loved when it came out. And so
still love it now.
Extra special fun to watch. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about our overall thoughts, what it was like watching Cloverfield the first time back in 2008, what it's like watching it again today. Then a play-by-play, scene-by-scene recap. Hope you're enjoying our Star Wars coverage. We're almost halfway through now at this point. And next week will be Return of the Jedi. And then we'll get into the sequels.
Revenge of the Sith.
God damn it. I get the R's mixed up.
It is, yeah. There's Return,
same
Revenge.
Same cadence, yeah. It's
third a movie in a trilogy.
Mm-hmm. But we do Revenge of the Sith, that's right. Mm. And then we're gearing up, ladies and gents, for our and non-binary folk. We're gearing up for our Hot Dragon coverage.
Hot D's coming back.
Hot Dragon, baby. Hot D. And The Boys, season 4. So that's going to be, we're going to start some fun stuff probably in May. Mm-hmm. And then June is the big month. We get The Acolyte. We get The Bear season 3. We get House of the Dragon season 2. We get
The Boys season 4.
The Boys season 4.
The Boys.
What, you know, the summertime used to be light on TV. Everybody just go outside, go on vacation. Not anymore, folks.
No.
Stop doing
changed.
That.
Yeah.
Is this like we're getting caught up because things got delayed with the pandemic?
Maybe strike stuff. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. But yeah, June is, wow. That is a not going outside for anybody who covers TV and film for a living.
What's
because it's also summer blockbuster month on the movie side.
I did look at summer blockbusters this year, and it seems like this summer is going to be kind of a light on summer blockbuster season.
I think June is June not when we get Challengers?
Oh, I'm not saying there aren't going to be a movie here or there. It just in years past, at least for me, I was like, oh, this seems like this is going to be a kind of a lighter summer.
Late April. Holy shit. A gift to mankind. Zendaya in the tennis threesome movie is coming out late April.
Love how that is
movie?
That is your idea of a summer blockbuster. There's a day of threesome tennis movie.
I'm sitting here like, I don't know about this movie. Tell me more.
It's not a blockbuster. It's directed by Luca Guadagnino.
It's gonna have you blockbusting.
Busting makes me feel good. I've been singing a lot, unfortunately, in this episode. Yeah. Should probably stop doing that.
No, not at all.
But today, baby, we're talking about Cloverfield. And I'm very curious. I know that Steve, Andy, I know for sure loves this movie, but yes. I know that Steve, big alien guy, not the franchise. I'm the alien guy.
I'm quite scared of alien
guys. Yeah. But like, that's why this would be effective, right? But I think maybe it's a little too kaiju. But then there are the critters. There's critters. Uh-oh.
The kaiju louse.
They're creeping and crawling.
Yeah. The louse.
That's true. Also, it's funny watching this movie for me. Well, I'll get there in a minute. But it's important to note this movie, the first feature film of a now beloved director, Matt Reeves.
Yes.
Well known for the Planet of the Apes trilogy, or at least the last two, as well as the Batman. That's right.
No, he had a movie in 96 called The Pallbearer.
Was it not a TV series?
It looks like a movie.
Really?
Yeah.
It's got David Schwimmer and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh my God.
But also, who's the writer?
Drew. I didn't get there yet.
Yeah.
Drew Goddard.
Yeah.
Godard, depends on where you're from. We did his movie Cabin in the Woods on this show.
We did, yeah.
Any other movies that we did?
Well, not that we did, but he's, you know, written Bad Times at the El Royale, The Martian, World War Z.
Ooh.
Oh, I love World War Z so much.
A bunch of Lost episodes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And a movie starring Lizzie Kaplan.
Mm.
And what I was going to talk about, TJ Miller.
His
film debut was this movie.
Are you guys fans of Silicon Valley? Either of you?
I've seen the first couple seasons and liked it.
Yeah.
But I haven't finished that.
I know that he's like a well-known asshole of some, or maybe is it abusive or just an asshole or
an asshole. I know he like called in fake bomb threats at one point.
Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah. He had like a public meltdown for sure. And then I think also was called out for some stuff. I don't recall.
Yeah, specifics. I don't know the details. I just know because I didn't watch that show. All I know is like I love the movie Underwater, starring, I don't know if you guys have heard of her, Kristen Stewart.
Who?
Yeah, what? Fucking love that movie. It's basically just Alien Underwater, but he's in that. He doesn't really bother me, but he's always like this guy. He's like a shitty Ryan Reynolds guy. and what I wanted to say earlier was like, it's kind of jumping the gun, but it's like, I don't think it works for this movie because of what's going on. You might think it's like needed relief, but I only laughed a couple of times. Most of the time I kind of found it exhausting that like this crazy shit's going on and you just got him 80 yard into this, like my balls itch, you know.
I don't think he was 80 yard from those parts.
You know what I mean?
Interesting. We'll get into it, but there's a reason why he was picked by Matt Reeves for this movie.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, him specifically. But I did look up, yes, he was charged with allegations of sexual assault shortly after making, like 3 months after Deadpool 2 came out.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I read on Wikipedia, not to turn it around to something else, but you said you love Underwater. Apparently that was also developed as a potential Cloverfield movie.
Really? A bunch of Cloverfield stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause before we recorded off air, like this movie's so influential in a really weird way. Like there's almost this crazy cinematic universe built around this movie.
Produced by J.J. Abrams.
Produced by J.J. Abrams of Lost fame also. Mm-hmm. There's obviously 10 Cloverfield Lane, which doesn't really have too much.
It's like a big reveal in the same way that Split was.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
Except for the title.
And then the same thing with the Cloverfield paradox. Like they don't seemingly on the surface have anything to do with one another. I think it's more about vibes more than anything.
Well, usually, it's about money. Well, you guys like Cloverfield? This is Cloverfield.
Totally. Yeah. But then also other famous movies were originally at one point in pre-production meant to be Cloverfield movies like A Quiet Place, which we will be reviewing on the Patreon as a bonus
Yes, this episode. Week.
Overlord
and...
Underwater, apparently,
yeah. So
10 Cloverfield Lane is a movie that I adore.
The movie's phenomenal.
Dan mm-hmm. Trachtenberg's directorial debut. He ended up directing Prey, probably my favorite Predator movie.
Prey's dope.
Fucking love that movie. I like 10 Cloverfield Lane a lot more than this. I hate found footage movies 9 times out of 10. Mm-hmm. It's just like, hey, the shtick hardly ever works. Like you end up, if you think about it too much, 9 times out of 10, you're like, why are they still holding the camera? Mm-hmm. Or how did they get this footage? Sometimes they don't even address how the footage is even being shown to you. Who's watching this right now? Like I overthink it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Horror movies for the most part. However, I will say, I think this one is done really well at explaining why it's being filmed. Because of HUD's character. And I think it's funny. His name is HUD. Is it supposed
to be?
Is that a joke?
I think so. Yeah. Cause heads up display is a HUD.
Yeah. Like his character, you kind of believe would obnoxiously continue to film this.
We got a document.
I also love the idea of the emotional core of this movie being like the date of the girl he's in love with being taped over. And so it's like spliced in.
It's so throughout. Good.
It's really like, well done.
Oh yeah. I'm watching a tape.
Yeah. I think it's really well done. I just think I know that Steve has said in the past that he hates Paul Greengrass shaky cam. And so I wonder watching a movie like this, what your brain does. Cause for me, it's very disconcerting. Eventually I get used to it, but that's typically my inner revulsion against found footage. Cause it's like, I just wish I could see what was going on more than mm-hmm. I think this is a neat concept, but I think in this is probably the best that's ever been done. I'm pausing to like kind of ponder that, but like I do love Blair Witch.
Yeah.
And I do love, what's that indie superhero film with Michael B. Jordan and Dane DeHaan?
Starts with a C.
Chronicle. Yes, that is very good.
I like Chronicle.
Because
that one's cool because since they have powers, they can like levitate the camera.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And keep it around Doom, you know.
And still, so you can do found footage, have your cake and eat it too. Like do fun camera angles and still be found footage.
I think it's done well. Some Wreck, horror movie. I think it's a Spanish and Mexican horror movie that's done really well. There's VHS, some good ones.
But does it a bunch.
For the most part, I'm like, ew. So that's why I maybe love it the least out of all you guys, but I'm excited to hear again, sci-fi alien backgrounds and Andy loves this movie. So Andy, what's your history with this film and what was it like rewatching it for the show?
From what I can recall, like, I think I went into this movie not really knowing much about it. And, I think a lot of people did. Like, I might be misremembering, but didn't the trailers like not show hardly anything?
The trailers didn't show hardly anything, as well as didn't even show the title of the movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So for the longest time, no one even knew what this movie was called. Yeah.
And JJ wasn't JJ yet. I mean, he was like the lost guy.
He was the TV JJ for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he was getting buzz as the young Spielbergs already.
He had just made Mission Impossible 3. That's about it.
Yep.
Probably the best Mission Impossible.
This movie had $25 million budget and earned 172 worldwide.
Nice. But yeah, so it, like a lot of my favorite movies, is one that I went into pretty blind and it just fucking blew me away. I think like Drive, I went and saw that with a friend one time thinking that I was seeing like a Fast and the Furious movie, and Drive's like a top three movie for me now.
Very different movie.
And so, yeah, I had that same kind of experience with Cloverfield, and I've never been like a huge kaiju guy. Like, I don't care about like the Godzilla movies and stuff. I like, my favorite one's probably the one with Matthew Broderick, because, you know, that came out when I was a kid and I had fun with it, you know.
You love Hank Azaria a lot.
And so, like, I don't know what it is about this movie. It's like just enough horror while also being fun sci-fi to like really hit home. And I really enjoy found footage movies. Just the conceit of it is really neat. I think it's, I get the total opposite experience that you do, where it's immersive to me as opposed to like, I overthink and analyze. And, you know, with this one, I kind of now watching it, older, I pick apart a little more just with the eye of a filmmaker, where I'm like looking for the cuts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to see. Some of the CGI hasn't aged super great, but overall it doesn't look bad by any mm-hmm. means for a movie that came out like almost 20 years ago.
Mm. Barf.
But absolutely love it. Do you guys remember, like, you probably weren't watching the Super Bowl 6 years ago, but I was. And
depends on who the halftime show was.
In the middle of the Super Bowl.
Legitimately. Is that the Gaga one?
I don't remember. In the middle of the Super Bowl, they announced and released Cloverfield Paradox on Netflix. Uh-huh. This movie will release at the end of the Super Bowl.
I remember that.
It was brilliant marketing. And that Cloverfield had really great marketing too. And I thought that was a really fun way for them to utilize marketing in a unique way that you don't see often, like a shadow drop of a movie. I just watched that again last night. That movie's fucking awful.
Paradox.
Paradox. Yeah. There's a couple of fun, fun horror moments, like dude's eye turning sideways and while he's looking in the mirror and it surprising him and stuff. But it just doesn't make any sense in the movie. I don't want to harp on about Cloverfields that I don't like, but I love the concept of this tangentially related multiverse type series of movies. And yeah, it just hits.
Yeah, it's almost like a modern day, a Twilight Zone type thing, but mm-hmm. with very specific types of science in it. I love that.
Need some kind of monster or alien vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've always, so when I first saw this movie in 2008, I think I went into it expecting something because I was a huge Lost fan. I was one of the people at the time singing J.J. Abrams' praises. I'm like, this J.J. Abrams kid, he's going to go places.
Mm. Wrong.
Yes. What's he done? And so when I went into the theater, I kind of expected something. And what I got was not what the movie was. Because I don't even think, I could be misremembering this, but I don't even think I was aware that this was a found footage movie when I went and saw it. And at the time was probably the height of my I hate Paul Greengrass shaky cam ire, because that was when the Bourne movies were at their most popular, was around 2008.
The what movies?
Bourne. Oh, like the Bourne Identity movies.
Yeah.
I just hate that style of action mm-hmm. filming. It drives me nuts. And so I remember walking out of the theater going I don't know if I like that. Hmm. It's too much. But then I watched it again because I think the concept is really, really good. If you're doing a found footage movie, what a cool idea. It's a found footage movie of people running away from a kaiju attack on New York City. That's a neat idea. And then, like you said, the splicing of it's being taped over a previously recorded tape that shows you backstory of the characters. It's really, really well done. So I would revisit it shortly after it came out on video and just kind of really fell in love with it. I honestly love this movie. I think it's really, really clever filmmaking. It's dense in terms of what shit they sneak into this movie. For film lovers, I think this is the type of movie that you love because they hide so many Easter eggs in this movie for you. If you're a Lost fan, the Dharma, and you haven't gotten far enough in Lost to even understand this reference, but the Dharma Initiative logo is in the very, very beginning of the movie when they're this is from an SD card. It's like when it's like, this is clearly a government tape that we're watching. The Dharma Initiative logo from Lost pops up very, very briefly throughout the movie. They insert one frame of the old King Kong movies, old Godzilla movies. That just for a frame, they're in and out. You would hardly be able to recognize it unless someone told you it was there. And it's just, and I like the way that the story progresses. I mean, HUD is this interesting idea of a guy who's just always filming. I got a document. I was given a job. I'm going to document. And the way they use the camera to kind of show you glimpses of the monster, it can be a little frustrating because you're I want to see it.
But it's Jaws vibes, don't show the monster. It's scarier that way.
Exactly. And then when there's monster louse, that is such a cool idea. Of course, giant kaiju monsters would have bacteria that feeds off it. That to us is just,
they don't have shampoo huge. For that.
Yeah, no. they don't have shampoo for that. Of course, things crawling in them. And I do think the story of someone trying to save the person that they love kind of ties it together. It's a little corny in some situations, but I think it does tie the narrative together. If it was just four schmucks running around New York City for an hour and a half and escape, there's no stakes to that, whereas there's stakes to this story and you can connect to these characters on a human level. And you do. I think by the end of the movie, you're honestly kind of bummed at what happens to everybody.
Yeah. Spoilers, but yeah.
Yeah. And it's just a really fun time, I think. I love it.
I love it.
I love it.
It's a great movie. It's a good exercise in a lot of different things. It's almost 100% effective.
And best part, It's like 80 minutes long.
I did.
It is brisk.
This was the fourth of four movies I had to watch for today. And I was very excited. I literally kept it to be the last one on purpose because it was like, all right, just take a break. Bing, bang, boom.
And you know what's funny about that? It's 80 minutes long and the camcorder that they're using use mini DV tapes. And I think the large version of a mini DV tape is about 80 to 90 minutes long of tape.
Wow.
So it's like they kept it within the threshold of what's in there.
That's cool.
Nerd.
Yeah.
I want to ask a spoiler question. So if you have not seen the movie Cloverfield, good luck enjoying it after this motherfucker. Just stop listening for a second. Come back after you watched it. Fast forward 3 minutes. Famously, I'm not even going to look at you guys when I say this because I'm just curious. I think I just missed something, but famously everyone dies in this movie. Mm-hmm. But it looked to me like Lily got away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She might have.
We don't know. I didn't miss her helicopter crashing or anything. Like that's just.
Yeah. It's not shown on screen that she dies, but it's assumed that she gets away.
Interesting.
I do know for sure that Travis makes it out. the guy that Beth brings to the party.
Is he in another movie or something?
No, I guess there's like a Blu-ray feature there's some sort of Blu-ray feature where you can read files on characters. And in Travis's file, it says like, he immediately went home, which is across the river and watched the whole thing happen on the news.
All the people in New Jersey. Like, what the
holy shit?
Well, what happens after this? Like, does the monster die in the bombs that kill Rob and Beth?
I think so, because like the fact that we're watching this video at all and it says property of the government, the area formerly known as Central Park, yada, yada. Like,
and if the camera's okay, why wouldn't Rob or Beth be okay?
Well, so I don't think that they got killed by the bomb. They got crushed by the bridge. So theoretically, just, I don't know, the camera was in just a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Losers. Is the Friends coffee shop Central Perk? Is it okay?
Is it okay?
I didn't even know that was in New York. Somebody called, I don't watch Friends. I don't know anything about it.
I'll be there for you. I know that song. It's a banger.
Clap, 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 clap. Yeah.
That was your cheeks. Weird.
Weird.
Weird, I mean, party trick that Steve can do. He sings the Rembrandts with his butt, like Ace Ventura style. that was just my question, because I actually had a really shitty experience. I haven't seen this movie. I've seen this movie twice now, but once at the time. Because I know Andy was a big fan. I think he showed it to me in like the early 2010s. Haven't seen it since. So I love 10 Cloverfield Lane. Again, that movie is only tangentially related. So I've seen that many times, but it doesn't matter. Anyway,
yeah.
I'm watching this movie. I don't actually remember what happens. And I Mary Beth dies. And I'm trying to take good notes because I'm trying to be a responsible professional podcaster. And I'm like,
Mary Beth, which one's Mary Beth?
The one that explodes.
Oh, it's Marlena.
Marlena.
Lizzie Kaplan.
So Marlena dies. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Did she fucking explode? So I Google Marlena death just to like verify that I didn't miss something, because it looked like she fucking exploded.
Yeah.
And the first Google result comes up and it's like, Marlena's death, even though everyone else dies as well, is the most memorable. And I'm like, God damn it.
Spoiled it right there for you.
Which is why I asked if you thought Lily survived, because the main... Like it was like the Lostopedia, Wookiepedia, but of Cloverfield that said that.
Cloverpedia?
It was like the Cloverpedia. So I was like, it's supposedly canon that none of our main characters survive, but it fucking looks like to me that Lily gets away.
Yeah.
So I just want to see what you guys thought.
I always assume Lily got away.
Like when they're taking off, the rest of them in their helicopter, it looks like something crashes next to them, but I don't know if
it's a Humvee.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't.
Because I did see somebody online like was like, oh, her helicopter gets thrown. And someone was like, no, that's a Humvee, you dummy. So like I went and rewatched it.
Oh, here we go. Cloverpedia. It's a fucking you're not being funny.
It's literally
called Cloverpedia.
Is it really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Cloverpedia says,
I feel like somebody owes you money, Steve.
Lily is the first to be taken up on a helicopter, which saves her life. She is the only known survivor of the group.
Wow.
Good for her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of depressing, but it's also cool. I honestly was mad that everybody died when I was kind of like closing my laptop and the movie was still playing. And then it cuts back to the date footage. And it's just Beth going, today was a good day. And I was like, this is a fucking good movie. That's a good way to end it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You can apparently in the background there see the alien coming through the sky like a comet.
Yeah. Really?
Water, yeah.
Yeah. If you look really closely, I think it's on the right side of the frame because the camera pans looking like towards the beach. And very briefly, you can see something like fall out of the sky and land in the water before it pans back to them.
And it took a month to get out.
Yeah.
Was just swimming around.
Yeah, because the creature design, I think the creature designer's name is Neville Page. He was saying his Neville Page. His notes for creating the monster was that this is a monster that's a baby in a new environment that's scared of where it's at. So in theory, like it crashed in the water. Months later, it's that big and just kind of wandering on land, like, oh, what the fuck? Everyone shoot me. Yeah. Ah!
It's a big toddler.
It's true. It would be terrifying.
And I guess in the original, when the bridge is taken out, originally it was its hand coming up and smacking the bridge.
I like the tail.
But they changed it to the tail because they wanted it to seem more unintentional on the monster's part that it was destroying things.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be like an infant monster, like not knowing what to do.
It was also eating a lot of people.
It's just lost at the supermarket.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
He's like, do you have any games on your phone? That's the part that I hate the most is how HUD dies, but we'll get there.
Interesting.
I think it's bad. But we'll talk about why, and maybe you guys can convince me.
Do you guys know why this movie's called Cloverfield?
Nope. It's Matt's fascination with gardening. Did you know his favorite?
He loves gardening.
Clovers.
Yeah.
And he... No, I'm sorry. I wish you had stopped me a while ago.
No, I want to see how far you were willing to go with
why,
that.
Why is it called Cloverfield?
So actually, this was supposed to be, Cloverfield was initially just like a stand-in title, like a project title that was meant to be changed because Cloverfield is actually named after Cloverfield Boulevard in Santa Monica, California, where Bad Robot production offices are.
Ooh.
So it's the name of the street the office was, and they were fully intending on changing it later. I think at one point they were going to name it after the... And I wish I wrote this down. I don't have it written down, but the bridge that they hide under at the end has a name in Central Park. And it was supposed to be named after that bridge. But at one point there's like, let's just keep it Cloverfield, whatever. Fuck it.
That wouldn't work for us. It would just be called Washington. And people would think Daniel Day-Lewis is going to play the president in our movie.
Yeah.
Because Steve lives on Washington Street. So.
I do.
That's our studio. Mm-hmm. Washington.
Just called Brent Spence.
The Washington Paradox.
The bridge builder.
What were you going to say about, you had some background information on the filmmaking style and
with TJ Miller?
TJ Miller specifically. And
yeah. So I think at one point, all the actors at one point are actually operating the camera. There are also real camera operators as well at certain points. Matt Reeves specifically cast TJ Miller because I guess he was a fan of his stand-up comedy and really wanted whoever played HUD, he wanted them to be a stand-up comedian that is good at improvisational acting. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the stuff that HUD is saying isn't scripted, and he was instructed by Matt Reeves specifically to just kind of improv shit to throw the other actors off because he felt like if there was somebody on set that was like throwing people off on purpose and just kind of commenting on what was happening, it would make the other actors, because they're the ones ostensibly on camera, it would make their performances more real because they would react to whatever he was saying in real time and just deliver like true, authentic performances and not just like know what they're saying on script. And so when they're running around and TJ Miller can just say something quickly, the other actors can like kind of respond to it in the moment. And I don't know, that was just his method into going with this. So a lot of times TJ Miller is behind the cameras, not all the time, but
fucking with them.
Yeah.
Saying shit like, I think the government's in on it.
Yeah. If I don't talk about something, I'll lose my fucking mind.
Oh, no, you know, the one I thought of immediately when you said that he was just supposed to say shit to throw them off is when they're in the tunnels and he goes, you remember when they caught that serial killer down here who was just setting homeless people on fire?
I just That's keep pretty thinking, good.
I just think it'd be fucking terrifying if a homeless man came running out on fire right now.
Hard Jesus.
This episode was sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it's 2024. What does everybody do in the new year? They make resolutions. They set goals. How about We don't do that. I mean, you can. It's obviously nice to have goals, but it's also a good exercise to focus on things that you like about yourself. You know, not making all those high pressure goals that you might fail at and just feel worse. You can set smaller goals. And I think therapy can be a good way to access things that you enjoy about your life and focusing on the positive, the gratitude. And BetterHelp is a good way to do that. If you've never given BetterHelp a try, it's therapy that's entirely online. You can do it all from your home and access a therapist by filling out a questionnaire. And if you end up not liking that therapist, you can switch. Again, along with the theme of this ad, no pressure whatsoever. They're not going to have their feelings hurt by it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
/streamingthings.
Spring is just around the corner, ladies and gentlemen, so how about we spring into action and give a special shout out to all of the patrons who keep the lights on over here at Streaming Things. And I want to give a special shout out to our super patrons for the month of March. Thank you, Stanton Valentino, Mattelstat, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Ashley Hazen, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento 7, Jay Scramo, Bluff Pum, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, John Collins, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much for supporting Streaming Things, and let's get back to the show.
You guys ready for the recap?
Let's do it. Let's dive into it.
So it opens up with that title card like Steve was talking about where it's, you know, hey, this is an SD card. Remember those guys?
We still use SD cards, to be fair.
But this is before lightning ports, right?
That's true, yeah. Before USB 3.0 was just a pipe dream.
And it says camera retrieved at site US 447. And then the footage that we see is on April 27th, my wife's birthday, at 6:41 a.m., he had just had sex with Beth at her dad's house, which is wild.
My dad's not home. Her dad is
Starship Troopers.
Very clearly a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've like, got that
well, they all
place,
live in Manhattan.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, yeah.
Except for that one guy's cousin who lives in Brooklyn. I can hear in the background ADR, like when they're heading across the bridge, we'll go to my cousin's house. I just thought that was funny.
Have no fear, Brooklyn.
Soak the monster.
Soak him.
Soak him. Andy has no contact
nope.
for this.
Do know what's going on. Do headlines sell papes? I'm here for it, though. No. Kaiju sell papes.
We watched a movie called Newsies starring a young Christian Bale. It's a musical about newspaper, the children who rioted in the early 1900s.
Okay.
And it takes place and they say funny things.
You'd like, love it.
Sweet.
From Brooklyn, we're selling papes. Yeah, so it's you know.
Wait, is Christian Bale one of the little boys?
Yeah, this is when he it was like early 90s.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like modern day.
He's such a transformative actor, you know what I mean? He could pull it off.
He like lost a ton of weight.
Yeah, he only ate a can of tuna and one apple and a cigarette per day. He got one happy meal.
I bet he could do it. I bet he could do it.
Alan. So then post-sex, post-nut clarity, just eating a big old bowl of fruit, talking about Coney Island.
She's never been.
She's never been. He's going to take her. They seem happy. Then it cuts to May 22nd, and all of a sudden it's his brother, Jason, with the camera, and he's trying to get HUD to film testimonials. Rob's going to Japan. There's a bunch of stuff, and I'm kind of confused at this point, but he zooms in on Marlena as she walks in because he has a crush on her.
HUD does, yeah.
Yeah, HUD does. He's convinced to be the camera operator for this. Like, oh, it'll be fun.
Did you say that the date changes in the corner?
Yeah. Yes, May 22nd.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was a really cool organic way to introduce the characters and to like show the passage of time. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we're established this backstory. If you're paying attention to the date, otherwise it's still like a jarring cut to like now we're in traffic and this couple's arguing and stuff.
Completely different couple. People. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Well, I hadn't seen the characters long enough, so I saw the date change. Mm-hmm. But like when I first see Lily, I'm like, Beth looks way different in the sunlight. And then when you first see Jason, it's just generic white dude number two. So you're like,
he dyed his hair.
This one's got a goatee.
So, but I did catch on eventually, thank God. Yeah. But you're right. Like the date's cool.
And they don't overdo like the, hey, we have a lot of people to introduce in a short amount of time. So I'm going to call you Steve by your name, Steve. So we remember it, you know, like it felt really organic. And mm-hmm. so for
good
a minute
point,
there,
Andy, I think you've made a very stellar point with that, Andy.
You guys do need to do that apparently for some listeners.
That's true.
That's
Andy,
true.
What do you feel about
Steve? What do you feel about?
But yeah, so Marlena doesn't want to do the testimonial thing, which is funny because HUD's just using this as a way to flirt with her. Mm-hmm. But at this, I love that moment where he's like talking himself up. He's like, all right, go do. And he walks, you see her look up at him and he just hard pivots. And then the other guy's like, what's up, man?
Yeah. What's up, dude? The party was really, they did a really good job on the party. Like it felt like an actual party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is what I've never been to one in Manhattan, but that's what parties are generally like.
I'm sure that apartment is like $30,000 a month.
Like the chick that's just sleeping on the couch and everybody's laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. That's usually me.
Yeah.
But yeah, Marlena doesn't want to do it because she doesn't even know Rob. She's like, I've met him like three times. I did think it's, and he's like, oh, we'll just do a quick one. You know, yeah, yeah.
I love that. She's like, do you have a card? My work loves this type of shit. And he's like, oh, I'm not a videographer.
She's so confused.
Like, and he's like, obviously super into her. He was asking about her before she showed up. And then like the way they introduce her character when she does show up is like, Lily's trying to give her testimonial. He pans over and starts looking at her. Yeah. And so we like know without her being introduced, that's who she is, you know? And I don't know. It's just really cool.
And to HUD's credit, so Jason is who's Rob's brother, is given the task by his girlfriend.
Yes.
I assume Lily. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're engaged or not. But
I think it's girlfriend.
His partner. He's tasked by her to get these testimonials. He dumps the job on HUD and immediately you're like, oh, HUD's a fuck up. Cause he's like, oh man, that sounds really hard. That's a real responsibility. But to his credit, I think he does a pretty good job, at least in the testimonial thing, for the most part. The Marlena thing isn't great. But
it might be like funny for him to watch later anyway with that way. I think he does a good job.
Yeah. And it's great found footage moments as soon as he gets the camera where it suddenly starts like turning on, turning back off, switching back to the old tape, back to the current. And now it's like pointing at the ground and stuff. It's like him trying to figure out how the thing works.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
He gets better with the camera and like later doesn't know how to use the night vision. Mm-hmm. I also really enjoyed the fact that we don't know that Beth and Rob aren't together mm-hmm. and that no one else knows that they had sex. The scene that we had already seen, LOL, it's organically revealed throughout the course of this party, you know, because it looked like we know why he's upset that Beth is with Travis, mm-hmm. but we don't yet know that no one else gets it. And they're just kind of being mean. I don't know. I think it's revealed very well, you know, organically, very well done. But Rob shows up. Everybody seems Surprise. Unsure if Beth is coming. And then Beth wants some dude. And my note is fucking Travis.
Planet Travis.
Oh, my God.
She's with Jonah from Superstore. What the fuck? He could do better than Jonah from Superstore.
But he's a nice guy. He's a solid 7.5 out of 10. You know, she's.
That's true. He's not a bad dude.
He's pretty nice.
He's like, oh, man, you're Rob. I've heard so much about you.
Congratulations, buddy.
He daps him up and then whispers like, I'm gonna get it later.
Good luck, Travis. He finds out that they taped over his Beth tape. He's like, what, was there a tape in there? Is that my camera? You know,
and that's he's kinda, really sad. He's doing, I do like that. So he's got a promotion and he's going to be taking a job in Japan for some whatever he does.
We don't know what he does, yeah.
But I do love the when he's sad boy, he's doing shots of sake.
Yeah.
Like he's got like the sake cups and the little the carafe that you see sake usually in. Yeah, he's just like, I'm going to Japan as a sad boy.
I've never had sake.
It's good. I love it.
It's fine.
Gotta get the warm sake.
If it's like at. Authentic, then it kind of just tastes like watered down vodka.
You guys ever had soju?
No.
No.
Oh, interesting. You're right into streamingthingspod@gmail.com. I have had Sobe. Sobe Life water.
Remember those from
with
like
the lizard
90s?
Thing? Yeah. For sure. Dude, my shell necklace just chugging that shit.
They had the ones that were like earth, wind, and fire.
Yep. It's like Avatar.
Fire Nation ruined everything.
That's right. We cut to Rob and Beth fighting. And at this point, Lily tells Jason and Hud in the kitchen that they slept together. And Hud's like, no way. He just goes around the party.
I'm his best friend. Why wouldn't you tell me? And they're like, why wouldn't I tell you? And it just cuts to him going up to all everyone at the party. Hey, did you guys know that Rob and Beth slept together? I'm like, no way.
He tells literally everyone.
And the best part is when he goes up to Marlena to tell her this and she doesn't give a shit, but he introduces himself. Hey, it's me, Hud from before. Kills me.
And then we get some bro talk about Beth trying to like, you know, talk Rob up. Hey, man, it's all going to be good, dude. It's going to be good, bro. They fight. You know, she's already left and he's told Travis, good luck getting in her pants tonight. You know, that's the last thing he said to her. And then there's a blackout. All the electricity goes out.
Well, we find out the reason why they're not together is Rob, because they were together and Rob, I guess, chicken shit. He's just a total chicken shit. Didn't call her back because he knows he's getting this promotion and he knows he's moving away. So he's like, well, why do I even, what's the point of us even getting together? Cause I'm just going to have to move to Japan. And he's just being a little bitch about it. And luckily I'm glad that
sayonara.
I love that Jason, his brother is like, you're a douchebag and going to Japan's not going to fix that, buddy. Cause like he's in the wrong on this.
Yeah. You don't deserve 100%. Her.
Yeah.
You're letting her go. And he gives her that, talks him up into that, chasing his love. And then while they're on the fire escape, there's like an earthquake feeling type thing, a complete blackout. It's crazy. They run inside. They see on the news that a tanker has capsized by the Statue of Liberty. And they run up to the roof to see what's going on. And then there's a giant fucking explosion in the distance. And all this shit and debris starts flying at them and exploding things around them. It's crazy. They make it down pretty quick because it looks like they're on like the 40th floor.
Yeah.
And then Lady Liberty's head lands next to them on the street, which is wild.
Apparently when they released the trailer, the first trailer that debuted in 2007, the Statue of Liberty's head was smaller. It was actually the correct scale because the Statue of Liberty's head isn't actually that big.
Is it not?
No, like people assume it's like enormous, but it's actually not very big. So when they played the trailer, a lot of criticism they got was that the Statue of Liberty's head was too small, even though they made it to scale. And so what we see in the final movie is the Statue of Liberty's head 50% larger than the real Statue of Liberty, which I think is kind of funny.
Because I've been there and it looks like I couldn't take her.
too much woman for you.
It's way too much woman for
Lady Liberty. Lady is Liberty. Too much woman for a crit kit laser.
But then, you know, Jason shows up. We see some Godzilla type shit briefly that Hud's freaking out about. One of the buildings straight comes down and they have to flee into a bodega from the dust and debris. We hear monsters roaring and shit out there. Finally, Rob and Jason stumble outside. Hud chases them and we find Marlena stumbling around. She's seen some shit.
The street is completely different. Like it's very much like a post 9/11 dust everywhere. Mm-hmm. Fires everywhere, people kind of shell-shocked walking around, specifically Marlena.
Yeah. Then he rewinds the tape so that everybody can see the glimpse of the monster that he saw. And so we get to see more spliced footage with the past, their date to Coney Island, which is really cool.
Is Beth convincing him to go for the job?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww. And then they decide to, they need to leave Manhattan. They say, okay, Brooklyn's right there. That's what that we should definitely cross.
Hey, Brooklyn.
We'll soak
no em. Sleep till
Brooklyn. It's a good song. And then Marlena's like, it was eating everyone, just to be clear.
That toddler, man, it's hungry.
They get to the Brooklyn Bridge.
Toddlers, they put everything in their mouth. All right.
Fun fact that we've shared before, the Brooklyn Bridge was built first in Kentucky, about a third of the scale, but the exact same bridge. It was tested out here. That way, if it fell, it would only kill hillbillies.
Yep.
And once it was found to be safe, then they did it with the Yankees.
Yep. The Roebling Bridge.
Interesting.
Yep. Pretty neat. So Rob gets a call from Beth while he's walking to the bridge and finds out she is alive, but not okay. Her apartment has collapsed on her. And so because he's stopping and trying to hear her, a lot of his other friends, including HUD and Lily and Marlena, stop. But Jason's kind of like pushed past by the crowd farther on the bridge.
Yeah.
And then.
Because everyone's trying to leave and walk on this bridge.
And then the bridge gets swiped by the tail of the monster. Jason and many others die.
Jason has no idea. He like climbs up on a thing. He's like, why'd you guys stop?
Yeah.
And he like looks up just in time to see the tail just flatten him.
So if he hadn't gotten that call from Beth, the movie would be over right here.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, yeah,
short film. And then so Rob runs off after his phone dies. He's very frustrated because people are looting a store nearby, and he's running in to get another phone. I guess it couldn't be a charger.
I thought it was a battery,
maybe
for his phone.
Would it be charged?
It would have like a 20% charge. Yeah, you know?
It would have some juice.
Something on there.
It has some juice. And then we realize this is when we see the monster louse, like it's dropping little mean critters. Cause on the news, lady's like, it's shaking off some kind of dandruff.
It's really cool though. It's like all the people that are looting, like the camera pans that HUD turns and you see all the looters just stand there holding stuff, looking up the screen. And then he turns up and looks to see what they're seeing.
Yeah.
And you see the little louse fall and start attacking people. And they're like, oh shit.
Killing soldiers too. Like,
dude, that first dude that gets like tackled by one of them. That looks gnarly.
It's very scary. Yeah. Rob reaches Beth.
There's at one point where Hud's like, Rob, I think we need to leave the electronics store. I know.
Definitely a TJ Miller.
There's some shit going on out there.
So her apartment fell on her. He says he's going to go get her. And then, yeah, my note is Lily is down. Lily's down to go. That's right. I was like, what happened to Lily?
Lily fall down.
Yeah. So Lily's down to go save her. It's like, okay. Cause they pass by like an alley where you can join the refugees, you know, being escorted out by the military. And he's like, you guys go, I'm going to go probably die. And they're like, well, we got nothing else to do. And HUD gets stuck on the other side of the street. And they get caught in this fight between the military and the monster.
It's the best scene in the movie. They're walking and then you see, oh my God. And they look up and then a missile fucking shoots over their shoulder. And then they're like all chaos breaks loose. There's tanks. They're shooting all kinds of missiles and there's gunfire everywhere. HUD's stuck on one side because it's a really cool way to keep like show some action. But you ran out of budget pretty quickly. And so we need to look at something else. So when you hide him across the street, he's looking at his friends and stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I do appreciate how this movie is really, really good at capturing the vibe of what this chaos would bring. I think some of the military stuff is like, I don't think military guys would be walking down the streets just shooting at the gun, but the way the civilians react, like the way people are like always screaming and it feels very real. Like when they're taking cover behind the car and HUD's like, oh my God, and then like, what? They're like trying to talk to each other.
Really good. It's all blown out because he's screaming into the microphone and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think it's very realistic.
And when they get into the subway afterwards, he's
falls.
Like, Yeah, he falls and he says, like, the sky caught fire. Like, there's not going to be a lull. Is really good lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, they dip out into a subway to hide from this monster war.
And it's the first good shot we get of, like, the monster's face when he's, like, about to go down and step.
Oh, because he turns back.
Camera looks up.
Yeah.
Not a nice monster baby, this one.
No.
It doesn't look nice. It's unfamiliar to us. Maybe
nappies.
Maybe it's xenophobia that I'm judging this monster so harshly.
Maybe. Ooh, you gross kaiju baby. Get out. We don't take kindly to kaiju babies around these parts. Yes. See, look at this one. He did it the right way. He went through the system.
It just turns over a giant nice kaiju in a suit. Hi. So he has to, and then they're hiding in the subway, and then he gets a phone call, and this is a terrible scene emotionally. Like you can imagine being in the situation. He's like trying to catch his breath. Is like, what the fuck is going on? And he looks at his phone and he's getting a call from his mother and he's aware that he has to tell her that Jason's dead, which he really hasn't even processed yet himself. And so he answers the phone and he films him saying that that's kind of rude, you know. Yeah. I want you to remember this for later, the time you had to tell your mom your brother was dead. And then he has a moment with Marlena as well. Like, hey, up.
I don't know what to say to him.
Yeah.
He's my best friend. I don't know what to say to him. And it's really sweet.
I'm like, Lizzie Kaplan.
Lily goes over there and he and her and Rob have a moment because they cuddle. That's the first time that Rob really kind of accepts that his brother's dead.
And that's her boyfriend and love of her life. So they grieve together momentarily.
Yeah.
And then
Marlena's just sitting there like, I wasn't even supposed to come in today.
I don't even know these people that well. Yeah. And then Rob says, well, let's just walk the tunnels, right? Probably not going to be any subways running at this time. It'll probably be safe. And then we get the crevasse joke, which I, as a Tenacious D fan, I always appreciate.
Crevasse.
And also the, you know who Superman is? Because he's trying really hard to connect to this girl he has a crush on.
Oh my God, you know who Superman is?
Have you ever heard of Garfield? we get the flaming homeless guy bit. And then they see all these rats running in the same direction, presumably from something. And then, be quiet. And he turns on the night vision and we see the critters.
Give it to me. This is the best scene of the movie for me.
Really?
I love it. I think it's so creepy. Like the monster louse are very creepy. Like design on those are so good. And I love their little Muppet noises they make. Like, bah, 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 bah. But the way they kind of like skitter about. And if they bite you,
you'll fucking explode. You'll
blow the fuck up. Yeah.
Which is kind of a crazy effect.
So wild. But yeah, I think they use the night vision very, very well. It's super scary. I remember when this happened, like people screaming in my theater when it happened, like when they would like jump at the camera, be like, ah.
It is a really great reveal when they get the night vision on. And they're above him and he's like got the glowy eyes and stuff.
And Hud's like, run, just fucking go.
Run, start running.
No, seriously go.
And Marlena only dies because she tried to save Hud.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He gets taken. It's like dragging him away. And they were going to
make me their queen. I wonder if it's like a genuine laugh from Lizzie Kaplan.
I think it is. Cause I think by the end of the movie, they're supposed to establish that they at least have a friendship.
Yeah.
Because he's the one she cries out for when the government takes her. Yeah.
I just wonder if he actually made the actress laugh with that wild ass comment.
Maybe.
Thanks for coming back. They were dragging me away. I wonder why they didn't kill me. I think they're trying to make me his queen. And she's like,
I love Lizzie Kaplan, by the way.
Yeah. Same.
She's so nice.
Same.
Apparently this movie, the way they cast for this movie, they were like saying, hey, we want these type of people for these type of roles. No one was allowed to read the script. Yeah. So they all auditioned with scripts from like Lost or Alias or some of the other J.J. Abrams properties. And based off the script that Lizzie Kaplan was given, she thought she was auditioning for a romantic movie, like a romantic comedy. And she basically just accepted the role without seeing the script because she just wanted to do a like J.J. Abrams thing. And she had no idea that it was going to be a monster movie. And she said, like, she'll never do that again for any movie because nothing bad against the movie, but it was like a really physically demanding role. Like, there's a lot of running and jumping around and stuff. And apparently she's like, I'm never accepting a script accepting a role without seeing the script first. Cause that was not what I signed up for.
I mean, she wasn't super well established at this point. Right. So I would think that she'd just be like, I got a job. Sweet. You know?
Yeah. At this point.
Yeah. At this point. Know. Yeah. She definitely, that's why she did it.
I guess now she's Lizzie Kaplan. So yeah, now she'd never do it.
Yeah. Now she can say no to shit.
Am I going to be dirty? I'm not going to hang out with TJ Miller ever.
Yeah, see, that's probably a big reason.
I've been watching Smallville a lot lately and Lizzie Kaplan is like one of the, a recurring character that's like gets infected by meteor rock and she's kind of a bad person. But
spoiler,
her talking about Superman is fun.
What about Garfield? Does she show up in that movie at all?
Never seen it.
She's going to be opposite of Garfield in the Chris Pratt one that's coming out.
They sneak out of the subway and run in straight into the they get captured by the military immediately. And Rob's trying to convince the dude, like, I can go. I've got shit to do. I know you're busy. I've got love, bro. Have you ever been in love?
You ever been in love?
I wish the general or the sergeant would have just been like,
I love love.
Shut the fuck up. What the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? Because like, really, it's like, right. Dude, I will shoot you.
I'm a sergeant in the U.S. military, not a sergeant in fucking poetry. All right. Get out.
Sergeant being a pussy.
I didn't know they stack shit that high. How tall are you? Robert, what?
The sergeant that finds him, though, ends up being really cool, though.
He is. He's like, I love love.
Yeah, I love love.
Go get her, son.
He's tearing up and shit. Yeah.
You tell her. You love her. You hold her close and you never, never let her go. My wife's for me, son. He's like, sir, I go, no, you listen to me. I was in love once and I let her get away.
An apartment fell on her too.
I wasn't man enough to go get her. Now the only love I have is the United States of America.
And real estate, honestly, not looking great right now, son. I get, is the apartment falling on her a metaphor for the housing crisis?
Since it came out in 08. Meanwhile, Rob is like left. Well, where'd he go?
But then Marlene is like, guys, and there's like fucking blood pouring out of her eyeballs. And we hear a lady off camera go,
we gotta buy it.
And they cart Marlena off. And then we see a silhouette of her. I can't stress this enough. Fucking exploding.
Well, she like balloons really quick and then pops. What? It's amazing. It's so good.
And
so
you see, sudden. There's a little foreshadowing beforehand when they're kind of being walked through the area by the military. The dude's
guts that's blown out?
Yeah, like HUD follows a guy that's like blown up in the middle. So it's a little bit of a visual foreshadowing. I thought foreshadowing. It was a
bite taken out of him.
No, it was, he did get a bite. Yeah. But then he popped. It was taken out of him far later after the fact.
I wonder if it's like,
I didn't put that together.
You ever know when you're like frying like sausages and you know if you don't like poke holes in them with a fork, they burst?
Oh, is that why that happens?
Yeah.
I've been doing sausages wrong.
So maybe if like somebody gets bitten by one of these things, if you just poke them with a fork, they'll be fine.
That's true. Has anyone got a fork? God damn it, this woman needs a fork stat.
I got a spoon. Get the fuck out of here.
I love to spoon. I used to spoon with my girlfriend all the time. Get out of here, Sergeant Love.
I love to spoon.
Sometimes she would let me be the little one. She was the perfect gal.
Now I'm just getting little spooned by Lady Liberty.
Lady Liberty is too much woman for me.
Heard she was giving head outside.
Give me your week. What is that? What is that phrase on?
I don't know. Nobody reads that shit. It's not true.
Give us your poor, you're hungry, something.
It was just some shit the French drummed up.
Right.
This will be ironic.
Make it bronze because they are said bronze country. Yeah, give me your tired, your poor, your huddle masses yearning to breathe free. Mm. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore.
God bless.
Just killed him. Build a wall.
Build a wall. Fuck that.
So then the sergeant eventually does let him go. And he's like, look, man, go get her. I get it. However, we are going to blow the whole city up at 0600. So hurry up. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. It so cracks me up, the idea of a sergeant like putting his hand on this young man's shoulder. Like, go to her.
First, that's basically what happens.
They're going to do the hammer down protocol. Mm-hmm. You got to go find her and go to this place by 0600 hours. That's the last chance. That's
sign that language can, for stop.
Yeah, it is. Quiet place. Yeah, they have to get to this place by 0600 or they're stuck there.
I learned it from Miss Rachel, but go on.
That's right, Miss Rachel. I forgot about her.
More.
There's a ticking clock now. There's a ticking clock that they have to, if they want to survive this, they had to get to the evac point by 0600 hours, and HUD doesn't know what that is.
There's going
to
be one more bombing run, right? Didn't he say that?
Yeah, one more bombing run, and if that doesn't work, they're going to wipe out all of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. At 0600. What time is 0600? 6 o'clock. I knew that. So then they get to her apartment. Her whole building is knocked over.
I love that shot of the, you see her building.
Is that like, her place?
Please tell me that's not her place.
Yeah, that's
her place.
She's on the 39th floor and they're going to have to try to climb up as much as they can. And then Lily's like, I can't do that.
Ooh, it's Last of Us. Doesn't that rip that off?
There is a knocked over building.
You need to like go up and cross.
Well, technically Last of Us would have ripped this off.
That's what I meant.
And then,
but yeah, HUD has that idea to go up the erect building and then jump over on the rooftop. Yeah, the erect building. Hey guys, I want to go up the erect building,
not the wrecked one.
And the other two are like, great idea, HUD. Never mind. That's a terrible idea. Don't listen to me.
What do I think of that? I cannot believe that Rob tries to go up the fucking elevators. I mean, I know it's really far, but like,
it's worth a shot.
You're not supposed to use an elevator in a minor emergency, much less like when the building's about to fall at any moment.
But that building's erect.
But I would have loved the scene where it cuts to them, like maybe the camera is the reflection of all of them, and he's like, dee, 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 or some kind of elevator music. Yeah. That would have been kind of nice.
Those are fun.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2, he loses his powers. And
yeah.
Nice suit. Rides up in the crotch.
We cut to, they eventually get to Beth's apartment after climbing over the roof. It's really scary because it's like, I think they do a good job of making it seem like the set is askew, you know, especially like the way Lily's acting when she tries to get to the opposing
Lily's
wall.
Lily's going all in on that.
It's like straight inception.
Which way is it leaning, Lily?
And then they get into the apartment and she's fucking impaled by rebar.
Jesus.
That's not going
to
end
wall
well.
Wall didn't fall onto her. She fell onto the wall.
Let's we don't know what happened. That. She was bouncing around in there.
Yeah.
She's in her jammies too. Like, it's sad. Like, yeah. She was just like, do, do, do. Brushing my hair.
Rebar.
Thinking about Rob.
How much of a dick he was to me.
Gave Travis a handy. Nothing serious.
No, Travis went straight home and watched everything on his mom's couch.
It wasn't a long handy.
It was just a. He's like, I'm sensitive.
Swear to God, that never happens.
I was thinking about Lady Liberty.
It's a whole lot of woman.
But yeah. So she's impaled by rebar. And then they like pull her off of it. And it's cool because they have to set the camera down to help. For once, HUD is like, okay, I'll actually help.
One small thing that's really, really great is he sets the camera down. And because the room's tilted, the camera like slides forward until it hits another piece of debris that keeps it in place.
Oh, that's cool.
That was a nice little touch.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So they yank her off the rebar and then they get her out of the building. And then they, you know, hobble around until finally the creature is being bombed while they're up on the roof, though. And we get to see this like roof down shot of the kaiju, which is really awesome.
I love Beth's reaction because she's unaware of any of this. She's like, what is that?
Yeah, that's true. She's like, oh my God.
And HUD's like, that's a terrible thing.
Yeah, that's my favorite like HUD line. It's a terrible thing. And then something else is like, also a terrible thing.
Yeah, also terrible because it's one of the little critters that is in there. And then Rob, luckily, is right next to an axe on the wall and is able to kill it. This is when we get the 0600. What time is that line? And then they get out to the choppers. Lily gets in the first chopper. We'll be right behind you. Nothing bad could happen. And then she takes off and presumably lives. And then Rob, HUD, and Beth get in the second chopper. It gets bombed. And I think TJ Miller's acting is pretty good in this, you know, oh, Jesus Christ, God, blah, blah, you know, that's basically what I would do. And
because the helicopter guy is like, let's fly real close to this bombing run.
Have any of you been in a helicopter before? I imagine you have, Steve, reason.
I filmed
when I was a kid. I think I got to like,
I feel like one. I would not be okay. I don't do well. I don't even like ski lifts.
Oh, you like, hate a helicopter.
They're only like 50 feet up, but it's like, I feel like this bar is not enough. Like, what if I have really slick pants on and just, like, I literally had a panic.
I got my swish pants on.
Yeah. Like, we were in Gatlinburg going up the skylift, which is nothing, you know, but Sarah was just like dying laughing because the entire way I'm like,
shaking.
Fucking hate this, you know? And that's why I hate roller coasters because I'm like, some 16-year-old stoner is responsible for making sure that I don't die while I'm upside down in this tiny bar is what's keeping that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I hate it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, helicopter would just sound awful.
Yeah, you would hate it.
Because I went in a tiny plane when I went skydiving, and I was ready to jump out by the time, because that's so uncomfortable being able to feel every little jolt.
That plane, they take you up in skydiving is like the ricketiest thing in the world too. Like in no way is this safe. Mm-hmm. Jumping out of it's way safer.
Yeah, for sure. Get me out of this thing. Come on, Frank. is that my parachute? Or are you just happy to see me?
Yes.
Yeah. Their chopper crashes and, we get this like voice sound, like this lady warning everybody on intercom, like, we're going to bomb soon. If you can hear the sirens, not good. She's like chewing gum.
Mr. Skinner. Mr. Skinner.
Excuse me, New York City. If you really sorry about this, but we're about to drop bombs.
We're about to initiate an init hammer down protocol in 15 minutes. I say again, 15 minutes.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, it's not good. Not looking good. And then there's like the monster is right above them as they crawl out from the chopper. They drag Rob out. He's got some kind of major leg wound to the point where HUD has to give him a tourniquet with his belt. And then, yeah, the monster is just looking at HUD. And this is what I hate, because it's like it like eats HUD and mm-hmm. then drops him.
Bites him in half.
That monster is so big that there's no like eating. It's just like that would be like me seeing a Cheerio and then eating half of it. Like that's ridiculous.
But you're not a toddler. You know a monster what I mean? Is a toddler. He just wants to put things in his mouth and like, ugh. HUD.
Don't you get like the satisfaction of like taking little bites of things sometimes?
No,
you know, I do.
I throw 19 Cheerios in minimum.
Like, you never taken a Skittle and like bitten it in half?
No, that makes me cringe. That'll what like break my tooth.
Oh,
I've done that. Yeah. Yeah. Starburst.
I have taken combos and like bitten all the pretzel off the outside and saved the core.
Totally.
Maybe you have, like, that's all the Cloverfield monster did.
Yeah. Yeah, it was biting off the TJ Miller to get to the core.
So he's bitten in half?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. If you watch it, you can see like his legs at one point stay in the monster's mouth. And then when you see like as he's falling, you can see his shadow on the ground. It's just the top half of a person.
You're a shadow looker.
Mm. Well, this isn't something.
We did this in Attack of the Clones too.
You know? We did. Yeah. This isn't something that I picked up on my first watch. Is I've watched this movie a ton of times, and I go in forums. Okay, I'm cool like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Cloverpedia.
Cloverpedia. Yeah, I'm on the peds. But apparently, I said what I said.
Not representative of the views. Of
No, but apparently this whole scene was actually the subject of a lot of debate amongst the filmmakers. Apparently. The VFX team like just thought the whole scene was stupid and like didn't want to do this like at all.
Which scene?
The scene where they stand up and the monster's there and it like looks at HUD and eats him. I forget exactly what they wanted to do. Like, I think maybe they just wanted like HUD to get killed very quickly and he didn't see the monster. But I think it was Drew Goddard and J.J. Abrams both were like, no, this is a monster movie. This is our one chance to actually let the audience see the monster. I think they're owed that. And J.J. Abrams specifically like was he thought it was such a neat idea to have the point of view character like get eaten so that the audience can know what it's like to be eaten by a monster vicariously through this character. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of back and forth. And I guess J.J. Abrams was like, hey, I'm the producer. Let's do what I want to do. OK. and that's how it got in there.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, like I said, he helped it a little bit.
I like it. You said you're not a huge fan of it.
Just
right?
Because, again, I'm overthinking it. And I'm thinking like the size differential. This monster is a skyscraper. Mm-hmm. His mouth presumably is a 4-car garage and takes a piece off of a 5'9" man. It just seems silly.
That's looked at it 100% as the chance to see the monster.
Well, I understand functionally why it's there. Right, but I'm thinking about how big this monster is. I'm
TJ Miller is 6'2".
So. Did you just look up his height? He's giving shorter energy, I have to say.
He's giving short king?
Not king, just short. He did. And Rob and Beth
somehow
picks
get
up
away.
The camera, gets away a little farther. I mean, again, they're tiny, they're specks to him. So he's like, meh.
He probably ate HUD and was like, ugh, gross. I'm not going back for seconds. And walked away.
She's hot. And then kept walking. and then they're under the bridge and they die. They're sitting there waiting. And Rob's like, it's funny to me because Rob's kind of like, we had a good run. I miss you guys. If you see this, I love you. At least I got to spend my last day with my love. And he's like, Beth, and cuts to her, and she's like, she's just not.
I regret everything. Yeah.
Why did you come get me?
I should have went to Travis's mom's house.
And then we get the spliced footage of I had a good day.
Yeah, and we see, like we said, the touchdown in the water. I had a good day, and then it ends. And then
they also confess their love to each other. Did we say that?
That's important.
You know, it was will they, won't they? And it was like they would
if they didn't die in a moment.
Yeah. Somebody asked, I think Matt Reeves, like, do they live? Because I guess someone could argue it's a little ambiguous if they're dead or not.
Definitely is. And they have the camera, like I said, and
And Matt Reeves said, like, it's not important if they live or not. What's important is that they love each other and they're with each other.
Yeah.
And by the end of the movie is, and then I think that's like a I don't know if that's a satisfying answer, but I like the spirit of like everything else in this monster movie is cool, but it's window dressing to these characters coming together, mm-hmm. which is a little beautiful.
Yeah.
I love love.
It's a good movie. You guys talked me into it. Not that I didn't like it. I gave it four stars, but like, I like it a little more now.
Mm. 4.5.
I might've given it 3.5. Maybe it's back to a 4.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, lovely choice. Did we get any emails about why they chose this movie or anything?
So this movie was chosen by our beloved patron, Peaches.
Peaches, 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 Peaches.
But I did reach out to see why they chose this. They didn't get back to me, but honestly, that's my fault because I didn't reach out to the patrons until yesterday morning. So
it's been a wild few weeks.
Yeah, it's been a wild few weeks. So Peaches, write in. I'd still love to know why you picked this movie, but they have not responded to my request yet.
But thank you so much for supporting the show, Peaches, and for choosing this wonderful film. Andy, thank you for coming back home.
Thanks for having me, guys.
One more again.
Feels good. One more again.
I love you.
I love you.
Crash!
That's all the time we have for right now. We've got to go return some videotapes and SD cards. My name is Kit.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
It's alive.